This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Antarctica is the coldest continent on Earth, but earlier this month, a record-setting heat wave shook things up. Our next guest is part of a team that makes weather measurements like that possible. He builds weather stations across Antarctica that collect all kinds of data, and then researchers use that data to study things, including climate change. Lee Wellhouse is a physical sciences instructor at Madison College. He's also an instrumentation engineer with UW-Madison's Automatic Weather Station Project. He recently got back from a trip to Antarctica. Lee, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
I wanted to ask you about your first day on the job. You walk out to clock in, and you're in Antarctica. What was that first look at this continent like for you?
So it was about a decade ago now. So it's always tough to like look back at how I remember things, but it's interesting. You get off of a plane and you're not landing on a runway. You're landing on an ice runway. So you get off and you're on an ice sheet and you see in every direction, nothing but ice sheet, maybe some mountains off in the distance that are covered in ice. It's very similar, somewhat similar to Wisconsin in winter, but just amped up to 11.
I would probably say Lambeau Field, the frozen tundra, as I stepped off. That's me. But what can you tell us about the work you do on these weather stations in Antarctica?
Oh, absolutely. So we have a network of around 60 weather stations, and we've been running a program for the National Science Foundation for the past 40 years. And a part of that is maintaining the weather stations. Antarctica is a very difficult place to have equipment. Everything breaks. It's cold, it's windy, things fall apart, and you can only be there for a few months out of the year. So every year we have to go to a subset of the sites and fix things because various things will fall off, various things will break, just eventually everything degrades. So, and things get buried by snow. So we're digging up equipment, we're raising it back to the correct heights, and then making sure everything's in good shape, working and transmitting so we're actually getting all the data.
And you recently got back from a trip to Antarctica. You know, our winter, I believe, is Antarctica's summer. Correct me if I'm wrong. Tell us a little bit about
that's perfectly correct.
Yeah, what did you see there? What were things like in this Antarctic summer?
So it was actually a pretty interesting year this year. We mainly stayed in the McMurdo base, which is the main U.S. base. So we didn't get far. Afield. We didn't go to South Pole this year. We didn't go to West Antarctica, which involves camping, but we did get to go to a number of sites on the Ross Ice Shelf, which is ice shelf that's closest to McMurdo, and got to see a lot of cold, a lot of snow, and I like to think of it as Wisconsin winter, only instead of it being dark most of the time, it's sunny all the time and similar temperatures.
Now, just after you left, people may have seen this in the news, a record heat wave in Antarctica. Can you tell us what's going on there?
Yeah, so that happened in East Antarctica. So for those listening, Antarctica can be split into East and West Antarctica. East Antarctica is higher. It's a much higher plateau, much colder, and a much larger area than West Antarctica. And they recently got what we call an atmospheric river, basically a really strong storm system moving into the area, bringing a lot of moisture and a lot of energy. And normally these systems just rotate around the continent. This one actually forced its way into East Antarctica and sat there for around a week. And it's dark most of the day at this point, and closer to the coast, it was getting a little bit of sunlight, but not much. And we're in the point of basically 24 hours of darkness. To see massive temperature increases is relatively rare, but it's caused by basically that energy being brought in, cloud cover keeping that energy from being able to escape to space, and just staying nice and warm, which is, again, super rare. And by warm, I mean still 10 degrees Fahrenheit.
But that's 70 degrees warmer than normal, right? That's a big difference.
Oh, yes, it's absolutely. It's a massive, massive difference from what they're normally seeing. And now this week, they're back to their normal temperatures in the negative 60s, negative 80s temperatures.
We're talking to Madison College instructor Lee Wellhouse about his work with UW-Madison's Automatic Weather Station Project, which collects data from Antarctica. All right, Lee, your instruments are there. You've repaired them. The data comes through. What then do we learn from all this weather data?
So we get to learn a lot of interesting things. So first of all, we're learning about the weather systems that are impacting specific locations. And that's super important from a perspective of we want to work there. Other science wants to be done there. It helps us forecast. It helps us understand what we're getting into because you're far away from civilization. So that helps us do our work and other groups do their work safely. It also allows us to understand the climate of Antarctica. It's a unique location. Different things are going on, and we can monitor it and understand it better going forward.
There was more Antarctic news lately, an ice shelf in East Antarctica collapsing. Why is that significant?
So it's East Antarctica has been a very, very stable environment for ice and ice shelves and ice sheets for the entirety of the satellite record. So the past 40 years, that we haven't had an ice sheet collapse. West Antarctica, by comparison, has had a lot more ice sheets collapse. Ice shelves have issues, and we're seeing a lot more ice loss in that region. So to see things like this happening in East Antarctica is a bit unexpected and also a bit more like newsworthy and a bit concerning.
Concerning why?
Again, because if we're expecting that area to be more stable for these ice sheets to be more consistent and not collapse in this way, by seeing them collapse, that tells us that things are changing in this region to some degree. Not as extensively as West Antarctica, but we're still seeing the change in the ice dynamics and in the climate of the East Antarctica.
Yeah, with the urgency of climate change, how big a piece of the puzzle is getting a better understanding of what's going on in Antarctica for what's going to affect us and the rest of the planet?
It's a pretty massive part of the puzzle, especially like I mentioned, West Antarctica. We're seeing a lot more ice loss and issues with ice sheet collapse, and there have been recent news about the Thwaites Glacier and the possibility of collapse there. These all play a major role in sea level change in the near future. The specific, like the ice sheets collapsing themselves, I want to be clear, those aren't going to impact sea ice directly. But by getting rid of those ice sheets, you expose the glaciers that are land-based behind them to the water. Basically, they're able to dump their ice into the water more directly, and that does raise sea level, and that is a major problem.
Right, so the ice sheets on the water are kind of like a plug for the ice sheets on the land, and when that land stuff starts to hit the water, that's if I'm right, if I'm hearing you right, that's when sea levels around the world can go up.
That's exactly correct. That's generally how it works. Basically, like you said, they act as a plug or a dam that's sitting there, and they act as a buffer. And when that buffer's gone, things can speed up, and the dynamics can change rapidly.
What for you, Lee, are the most interesting or important questions that we still don't have answers for when it comes to weather and climate in Antarctica?
Well, that's a tough question because again, it's a unique place. Obviously, just Antarctica being a large continent and not having a lot of observations, we just need more observations in more places. It's just we're getting a better understanding of the areas we're able to get to, but just it's a big place. There's a lot of things that can go sort of overlooked or missed because we don't have observations in all the locations, and satellites help us with that, but there's still more to be done there.
A lot of big questions there, Lee, but I gotta ask, do you, just in our last few moments, do you ever have moments where you're like, I'm standing on Antarctica? Like I'm part of this like incredibly small percentage of all the humans who ever lived who are on this continent?
Oh, absolutely. That happens every year, and it's a big part. It's a feeling that brings me back every year.
Lee, thank you so much for sharing your work with us.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's Lee Wellhouse. He's an instrumentation engineer with UW-Madison's Automatic Weather Station project in Antarctica and a physical sciences instructor at Madison College. He was with us today to talk about his work in Antarctica and a record heat wave that hit that continent.